Portland's favorite morning roast.
Who was the second hottest golden girl? Oh, you want to rank the hot golden girls?
It's time for your sunrise guys.
If Blanche is number one,
was she the first TV cougar?
Ooh.
Andy Dirk Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
You're going to say Estelle. You're going to surprise me, and I'm not going to judge you. Estelle seems like she was probably wild.
Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in the final hour of the radio program known as Dirt and Sprague here on 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. A delightful little Monday morning. We have a lot to get to in the final hour of the program. Coming up at 9:15, I want to get to Hello Friends, but also it feels very clouded right now. So I'm just kind of curious the vibe, the early Monday check-in vibe as we get closer. Is Masters Week? Is Masters Week being overshadowed by something that happened at the end of last week? We will talk about that coming up at 9:15. Dirt will be back tomorrow.
Yes.
So we'll have the full crew for the first time in 2 weeks back together on Tuesday's edition, as we also have reaction to the national championship game, which we'll briefly touch back on.
That we'll see what the Blazers do in Denver tonight.
Yeah, yeah, we will.
It'll be full go Masters with Dirt back. We'll see if his picnic supplies arrived.
Oh, is he doing it again?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he chose not to do
it
because it costs too much.
No, it's on. He's getting the full.
The same one he did last year? Because that one was like $200.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Or maybe he got a smaller version.
I think he told me there was like 9 pounds like of potato salad, and that was too much.
Yeah.
So Dirt will be back on the saddle tomorrow. Couple NFL notes. Haven't gotten any NFL stuff. So,
no, it'll be – yeah, there was a lot. You know, the start of Major League Baseball season, the NCAA tournament, I think we'll start to see things kick towards the draft here in the next week or so. ESPN will start cranking up the machine.
Well, you got a lot of, like, little moves that have been happening, right? We talked about Kirk Cousins last week and how his agent should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But we got a little bit of news yesterday. The number one pick from the 2022 NFL Draft, Trevon Walker. The Jags elected to give him the extension. His deal was going to be up in 2027. 4 years, $110 million, which includes $77 in total guarantees and $50 guaranteed at signing. That makes him, let's see, his $27.5 million in average annual salary on the extension places him 12th amongst edge rushers, according to Over the Cap. That's three spots behind his teammate, Josh Hines-Allen, who's making 28.3. As many Jags reporters, because I went and read about this a little bit, because Trevon Walker's career, when you look at Aiden Hutchinson, even with the injury he suffered a couple years ago, and then you look at Trevon Walker, it's like, you made the wrong pick. He's had a fine career. Not great, not number one worthy-esque, but this was more about just shoring up. And look, he's 12th amongst edge rushers. He's the number one pick. That kind of tells you all you need to know about where he ranks, including behind his own teammate. But they wanted to move on. They wanted to secure their edge. And this makes it abundantly clear, according to everybody covering the Jags, that Jacksonville is probably going to be eyeing the defensive tackle in their draft pick this year. They're probably also going to sign back their wide receiver, Parker Washington. He came on at the end of the season. And so Jacksonville signed their number one pick, Trevon Walker. He probably gets thrown into... So let me see if I can play this game with you. Give me just a second, because I forgot to bring this up during the break. Here it is. If I was to ask you... Okay, let's start in... Give me a second here. Okay, let's start in 2019 to now. Can you name the number one picks?
Ooh, probably not.
So 2019, it was Kyler.
Okay.
2020 season, remember that was the weird COVID draft. Our boy Herbert was in that. Do you know who was the number one pick of that draft?
It was quarterback.
It was. Very handsome.
No.
Smoking on that.
Oh, that Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow.
Yeah, the years are just getting...
That's fine.
Yeah.
2021, Jags were on the clock. Number one pick.
Yeah, Trevor.
Trevor Lawrence. Okay. 2022, I just gave it to you.
Yeah. The guy. It's Sorry, I got three things going on in here at once. Aiden.
Aiden was not the number one pick. Okay. I just said people thought they made the wrong pick. Who was picked before him?
The guy for the Jags.
Yeah, what's his name? Trevon Walker.
Walker.
This is kind of my point. I won't go through this anymore because you're going to fail this. You just failed it in the biggest of ways. I just talked for 2 minutes about them signing him again.
I know. Like I said, I got four. Three
I think you can make an argument of all of the picks since 2019. You could even go back further than that. He might be one of the more irrelevant number one picks to ever exist.
Yes.
Like, and you just don't think about him very often.
No, I don't.
And you proved my point with that one. Even Bryce Young's pick was interesting because there was a massive
trade. Oh, it was interesting.
Trade.
That got headlines.
It did. Caleb was picked, and then obviously Cam Ward last year. So Mendoza's going to get picked. Like, quarterbacks,
yeah,
we tend to remember. When you look at number one picks, Trevon was number one in 2022.
Yeah, think about non-quarterback number one picks.
Who
Miles
was the
Garrett.
Guy before him? Yeah, Miles Garrett was the one before him. Then you go back before that, Jadeveon Clowney.
Yes.
The famous draft me in dirt randomly had to do 1 year that we hated doing, and it was arguably the worst draft to ever exist. The Eric Fisher draft.
Oh, God, yeah.
Eric Fisher was the number one pick in 2013. Jake Long in 08, Mario Williams in 06. That was the Reggie Bush draft. Since 2000, the number one pick in the NFL draft has been a non-quarterback 4, 5, 6, 7 times. And they're all usually defensive linemen with the one or two Long or Jake Fisher. So, look, it's not that if they would have drafted Aiden Hutchinson, you'd feel much different about this. This is fine business to do, I think, if you're the Jags. And I'm kind of curious if the Jags are going to continue to ascend the way that they did this year and playing very well in their division, or if they are one of the – they made the playoffs, then they didn't make the playoffs because, remember, they did that with Doug Peterson. So we'll have to wait and see with Liam Cohen. Sticking in the NFL, did you see the report, Swag, that the number two team for ESPN, they're thinking about changing it? So do you know who the number two team is?
The number two team for this year's draft?
No. For the broadcast. Remember they do the doubleheader Monday Night Football game?
Oh, that's right. It had been, wasn't it? It had been Fowler, hadn't it?
You would be correct on that one.
Fowler and, now did Herbstreit do it with them? Or,
nope.
It was Orlovsky and Riddick.
Ah, correct. They're thinking about dumping it entirely. And moving on, because they're not going to, they don't want to do the doubleheader anymore.
Oh, okay.
Because you had that weird, like, it starts at the same time games, and it's like, wait, which one do I watch here? Sometimes they were staggered. It was very odd. Instead, they're thinking about moving up to, what did we say, the Wednesday of Thanksgiving week. And so the reporting out now is that they're looking to move on, and Jason Kelce might be in the driver's seat to be on the broadcast.
Well, that would certainly help.
You think he'd be really good in a game?
I think so.
Because I think he's pretty good in the studio stuff. I don't know how good he's going to be in the play-by-play. I think that's the tough part.
I mean, yeah, you got to go do it at some point, and hopefully they would be able to get him into, you know, some preseason games or something. They could call the Eagles and say, hey, can you throw Kelce in the booth for one of your preseason games doing that local broadcast so we can get him some reps? I think he's smart enough to adapt pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I think the hard thing for him initially will be getting just the timing down of, okay, I'll let the play-by-play guy finish. I got to come in with something and getting out because he does like to talk.
Mm-hmm.
But he's used to being on a set with a lot of people, so you get your spot. He's not one that likes to dominate and hawk. You know, he shares everything. But it'll be just getting that timing down of, this is how long I have to make my point, and it's ready for the next play. And once he does that, I think he'd be very good.
And then the report is that Lamar did report for the beginning of the Ravens workouts with their new coach, Jesse Minter. Now, they're trying to still work on an extension here.
Yeah.
And so that whole thing feels a little odd, but it always kind of has felt a little odd with Lamar and the Ravens. Remember, Lamar famously, his mom and him represent himself, doesn't have an agent. Now, some people have used that as a criticism against him. You don't want to give somebody else a couple dollars because you think you can get the contract. He got the last one. And now it's going to be about whether he's going to get the extension. But the good news, I think, for the Ravens is that he's at least reported. And I think from a leadership standpoint, a lot of people are just going to kind of be curious. Does he show up? Where they're at? The relationship between Lamar, Biscotti, the owner of the Ravens, has talked about wanting to get this extension done. And so good news is that Lamar Jackson has reported for the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah. And I think his Lamar, whoever is talking to Lamar needs to tell him.
I don't think anybody does.
That's the problem.
It's him and his mom. He's his own, I know. He's his own representation.
So he needs to understand, he needs to be there for the coaching staff.
Yep.
If he's got a beef with management because they didn't give him something over the years, his contract is set up that he can walk away. He has a no-trade clause and he has a no-franchise tag clause. So if he wants to play out the existing contract and then bolt, he can do that. But if he starts to take it into the new coaching staff, that affects the team. And when you have brand-new coaching staff, I think it's important to be there from day one to, you know, get familiar with them, just get comfortable.
Yeah.
Everything's going to be new to a certain extent, so the faster I can get assimilated. And if you're there day one, those coaches are going to be like, Lamar, come talk to us. They're not going to be trying to dictate to him. This is the way it goes. They're not stupid.
Mentor said he's got a good relationship with Lamar, and he was asked before this, like, does he think he's going to show up? And he's like, yeah, I think he's really into and excited for our offseason program. But nobody really internally knew, so they posted a bunch of video content on their socials once he did. So the important thing here is this is voluntary.
Right.
And so I think to your point, what it sends is a clear message of unified new era with still a lot of familiar faces. We just have a new captain at our ship.
If he's got a grudge with the front office and the management over not getting what he thought he should have gotten in the first place.
I think he got that, and it's kind of a wait and see on this. But it's good news for the Ravens. He showed up, voluntary workouts, and so I think it's a good sign for Jesse Minter. The 2022 first overall pick was who again?
That guy.
I don't think you learned his name.
I want to go get a Jags jersey now. And in the back, it says that guy.
It's his number, but I think he's 44, and it just says that guy. I don't think you learned his name. We talked about it three times.
No, I didn't.
He might be the most irrelevant first overall pick for you in your life.
Probably.
That's unbelievable. Travon Walker.
Travon Walker. Okay. Now you know what to get me for my Christmas gift.
A custom Jags jersey with the number and that guy.
That guy.
Would you ever wear that, by the way?
I totally would wear that.
I almost bought you a Canadian hat at a thrift store this weekend.
Oh, okay.
It was just all red and had the leaf, but you don't even rock the Canada sweatshirt.
I did the other day. It went through the washing cycle. So
that's okay. I'm not asking you to wear it very often. I'm like, is he going to wear this?
It'll come out maybe during the World Cup.
Oh, you're going to root for Canada?
Well, the U.S. squad might be in shambles.
Oh, yeah, they might be out soon. Yeah, that's true. Has there been a damper over this big event this weekend? Let's talk about that coming up next as we roll on the final hour. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 The Fan. We'll do a crosstalk with Pierre today. He's hanging out. I think he's going solo to Dolo today. He said Danny's got a fever.
Blaze a fever. Prescription?
Certainly knows who Travon Walker is.
Okay.
That was fun. You know, you sit in a room and you do a radio show by yourself, and you're doing something that you're kind of interested in. Like, I saw the Walker contract. I'm like, oh, okay, they did extend him. I didn't know his career hasn't gone exactly, you know, the way Aiden Hutchinson's has. And 2 minutes of Travon Walker, and I turn over and I go, what do you think? And you're like, you know, the guy that you've been talking about that I'm not paying attention to. Yes.
Off-season stuff is very off-season.
But I'm NFL, dude. If I see any NFL headlines worthy of conversation, I'm in. I love it.
No, I let the off-season be the off-season.
Well, that's what I'm doing. I'm talking the off-season. I'm not like, let's come back. Coming up next, the bottom dwellers most likely to win their division. I'm not doing that right now. But I'll talk about the contract stuff when I find it interesting. One thing that is interesting that we're all going to be into, whether it's that guy, Travon Walker, or whatever you're into right now, Thursday is the beginning of, welcome, friends.
It is.
The Azaleas are back. It's Masters Week. And look, I'm pretty excited to see who's going to emerge from the field. Is Scheffler going to finally have a good start to a round and come out in the first round and assert himself, or is he going to be playing comeback? We've had Morikawa's been injured, but yeah, I know he was playing really good golf, and you know, I kind of want to see what Rory's going to do. They've got this big special they've been teasing about Rory, reliving the Rory thing. When is that set to air, by the way?
I don't know if it'll be beforehand.
I think it's beforehand. I've been
sometimes
seeing
when they do it, it's Sunday morning right before they
That's
start
right.
their live
I think
final
right.
round coverage.
So I want to watch that because that's crazy. It was a year ago. It doesn't feel like a year. And that was such a – that's one of the bigger sports moments for me. And
that was – yeah.
I'm a big Rory guy. I love the Masters.
I think this year's field, I think it's pretty wide open.
It is pretty wide open.
Obviously, Scottie Scheffler took off the last 2 weeks. They had their second child.
Yep. And him and his kid are already there.
They're already there.
We had the drive chip putt contest yesterday. Yep. That was going on.
So they had the women's Augusta National Amateur.
But I ask in sincerity, like, for all the good he did for all the golfers, I do believe Tiger is completely screwed over this event. He has overshadowed this thing, and you can brush that off as a golf guy. Dude, all people have talked about, it ain't the Masters. It ain't Rory repeating. It ain't Scheffler. It ain't whoever. It is Tiger Woods. He called the president while he was being pulled over for a Dewey, which is just a wild thing to hear in a headline. Like, he passed out. Famously, all these are becoming memes and
GIFs. I think once we get there, we start seeing, you know, live from Augusta and start talking to the players and you're out live on the range and all of those sorts of things. I think that will go.
But he went from being there and being a little bit of like, hey, Tiger's here this week. Is Tiger going to play? That was a thing. He was asked.
Oh,
at
I know.
Press
after he did the TGL thing and whatever. And
to quickly flipping a car over and now fighting a Dewey charge and having all this awful video and audio out. Like, it's, they will ultimately, to your point, Saturday, Sunday, Friday, Thursday, like when Dirk comes back tomorrow, he'll have Masters gear on.
Once they tee it off, once they have the champions
but
there.
But it's an elephant in a room, dude. Like, if they don't mention it Thursday, it's very odd. And I know that they probably won't, but it's very odd to me. He's debatably the greatest golfer of all time, and he's been in headlines for nothing but negative reasons, largely.
Yeah.
So, just an odd, weird start to the Masters is having that over the sport right now.
But I think once they tee it up and get to playing.
What is it about golf fans where they don't want to talk about this? I'm getting a real vibe. You don't have any interest in this. I know I've heard Rob basically say, I don't want to talk about Bad Tiger. Like, what is it about diehard golf fans? And I'm somebody who watches a little more. I play. I love the major tournaments. What is it about it that's kind of like an odd feeling for golf diehards out there?
Because there's this diametrically opposed thing. How great he truly was, mm-hmm. how dominant he was for 15 years.
Yeah.
And then separately, you know, the last 5 to 10, just all of the, you know, one.
Odd
I think
behavior.
I think it's just hard to comprehend.
Yeah.
To a certain extent. Well, all of it. It's like, How do you do that on the one end and do the other thing on the other end?
How many sports heroes, this is the way their life goes, you know? That's what's tough to identify as well.
For me, I tend to want to focus on the golf. For me, he hasn't been a factor in, you know, relevant in terms of golf being played.
I disagree firmly. I understand what you're saying on the course.
Yeah.
He was picked to basically help run the PGA Tour.
Well, there's that.
That's a massive part of the stuff being played. Is he still going to have that job, by the way?
I don't know. We'll see.
I just think the whole thing is just such an odd cloud over such a great week, man. Like,
yeah,
we're going to get to Thursday and Friday, and we'll all talk about
it. I guess I'm choosing
tournament.
Not to let that. That will take care of itself down the road. There'll be more that comes out of it. I don't want it to spoil the week.
I think any other golfer that happens, like, Phil's not going to be here. He has some medical thing. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Like, I hope everything's okay with his family, or if it's him or his family, whatever. Nobody cares.
No.
But Tiger getting another car situation pain pills?
I never even thought Tiger would, despite him playing at TGL, I never realistically thought he was going to tee it up on Thursday.
Oh, I didn't either. It's just, to me, it's not so much about him and could he have won? It's just him being a part of the festivities, and now it's like this weird, like, we're going to move on from him. He's not here. He's in another country. He's doing rehab. Like, just kind of an odd, I think, cloud over the start of the week. And the closer we get to Thursday and Friday and the weekend, we'll obviously move on from it. But I just also, as a casual golf fan who watches majors and watches about four other tournaments a year and is familiar with the names and thinks the field's great, it's a weird thing just hanging out there of like, oh, this happened.
Yeah, I've moved on from him being, I don't think he'll ever come back and be competitive playing golf at the PGA Tour level.
Oh, I actually more, it's, I think it's about like, I hope he doesn't die prematurely and I hope he can get his S together because his kid is playing in college and he's supposed to help organize and lead golf into the future. That's where I'm at on. Has nothing to do with him playing. Yeah. I have zero stock in him ever being a golfer on a legitimate level again. That's over.
No, I think a bigger story was J.J. Spahn winning for the first time since the U.S. Open, and is he...
I think you're... And that's where I think you are way off on that. I think way more people are caring about the Tiger, where's he at, what's he doing.
That's the biggest problem with golf right now.
There's no doubt about... Well, that's kind of what my point is on the segment, right? It's, you know, J.J. Spahn did this, that. That was, for me, why I'll never forget where I was... And how huge that was that he won that Masters in 2019.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't somebody that thought, it's back. I celebrated and watched that as a sports fan. Like, that's it. That's the Elway send-off. That's the Jordan Utah shot. Like, it just, to me, was going to be the final one. I never legitimately believed he was ever going to be in contention. He was ever going to win another one. That's what made that so magical. It was the rise to the top of the mountain. It took some guys that played well to not play well. But as a sports fan that followed his whole life and kind of brought me into golf, to me, I watched that through the prism of, this is it for my hero. This is it for me watching the all-time guy. Not, oh, he's going to be back. He's going to dominate. He's going to do this. And he had some good tournament showings after that. But I never really believed that. I thought that was it. That was the way I watched it. It was the final one for me. And so I wasn't shocked to see it kind of trail off the way that it has. So it's a cloud hanging over it. But I know as the week goes on, the closer we get to Thursday and Friday, people will eventually move on from
it. Yeah, we usually get the tee times tomorrow in the middle of the day. They'll release the groupings and tee times.
We'll have to wait and see on that one. All right. Let's get to a little bit of the peekaboo with the national championship game. We talked about that earlier in the 7 a.m. hour. We'll touch back on it. Does Dan Hurley and UConn pull off the upset and win their third title in 4 years? Or is Michigan going to be the wagon that just runs their way through an NCAA tournament in a way that largely we've never seen before? Winning every game, scoring 90 points, blowing teams out. We'll talk about the national title game. We got a big WNBA trade. I think it... I think it registers.
Oh.
I think it does.
Okay, hang on.
I got it. The Chicago Sky have traded Angel Reese to the Atlanta Dream.
For two firsts.
Two first round picks.
Oh, 27 and 28.
Somebody had said, is this comped to Luka Doncic? To which I'd say immediately, no.
No.
Not in any way. This would be like if Paige Bueckers was traded for nothing from Dallas. That would be the Luka equivalent. Look, Angel Reese is a fine player. She's a double-double machine.
Yes.
And she's incredibly popular. Her socials are great. She gets people to show up. She creates controversy and interest. This had been building for like 6 to 8 months for those that don't follow. And
yeah,
there's many
was
out
some,
there.
There was always weird stuff going on.
The Chicago Sky are a disaster. They fired their coach because they made the playoffs, which was odd. And then last year was even worse. And this is the least surprising thing, in my opinion. But now you've got everything opening up for the W as the Portland Fire have players now as we get closer and closer to the start of their season. So I just want to pass that along. Angel Reese is winning the Atlanta Dream. National championship game tonight.
Yes.
Talked about it 2 hours ago. Are you feeling any different, or is it the same kind of takeaway of Michigan, UConn? Can UConn pull off
this upset? I'm
curious.
It is the national title game. You have two worthy teams that be in there. But my question is, what is UConn going to show me early that makes me believe they can keep Michigan within their sights for 40 minutes?
They have to bog down Michigan to the point where they're shooting late in their shot clock. The pace is not fast. It's not quick. And if they continue to get the play from Reed
and
that
they have
got,
to match them on the glass. They can't give
they
up
do.
A ton of offensive rebounds.
Yes. I know, like, Linda Borg is really questionable coming into this because of the ACL or the MCL, excuse me, sprain and the sprained ankle. But he's going to give it a go. I thought Merez Johnson Jr., who may or may not be a Blazer, depending on if we make the playoffs, I thought he was fantastic for them.
Right.
all their role guys, McKinley, I thought he played really well. Gale Jr. is a really explosive athlete. Like, Mara playing the way he played was one of my big takeaways outside of Cadeau, of just dominating the glass, being aggressive, and he's 7'4".
Right.
It's hard to have an answer for that.
We'll see if Mullins is going to have as many clean looks coming off screens as he got at the start of that game against Illinois.
Sure.
Because, one, Michigan's a lot longer.
I just want to see, you know what this is to me? Like, you can break this down of this player, this style, that style. Like, in college, we get to see Dan Hurley against Dusty May.
Yeah.
This is as good as it gets in a coaching matchup. I thought any of the Final Four coaches, if you would have given me Brad Underwood against Tommy Lloyd, Hurley against Tommy Lloyd, or May against Underwood.
No, it's going to be.
It was always going to be a
great
coaching matchup.
We were going to get a good matchup for the national title no matter what happened.
Yeah, I tend to believe that.
I think we're a little surprised in how we arrived at this matchup, but.
Well, you sent the note to me earlier. I mean, when you look at Michigan, so Michigan has had 90-plus points in all five games in the tournament. They're the first team with 90 points in five games in a single tournament. Their 18-point win. So you track this down, and I don't know if you have this wrong or right, because I want to believe you, but also I saw an ESPN article that said that was the largest margin of victory for a one seed over a one seed since 1979. You have it as tied, so either way.
Well, I've got it.
Because you have it in 08, Kansas defeated UNC by 18, and 1985, Georgetown defeated St. John. So I will believe you. And so, just say either way,
yeah,
it's the largest.
This is from ESPN Stats and Info. It tied the largest win in a matchup between number one seeds since seeding began. The others were Kansas, North Carolina in 08 and Georgetown, St. John's in 85.
Yeah.
And that's from ESPN.
So we're looking at, like, historically, we've never seen a team be this dominant and have this run in tournament history. This is truly one of one. And with UConn, I mean, look at UConn. The potential to win three in four?
Did Coach K ever do that? I don't think he did.
Let me look.
Otherwise, you're going back to UCLA. Duke's the only other team that could have pulled it off. Because Kentucky got there a bunch but didn't win.
So K never did it.
Okay. Then it's UCLA is the last team that did anything like
that. K won two and back to back in the 90s. Remember the 90 to 92 teams?
Yep. I think he got there three straight years.
Yeah, he got there three straight years. He lost in 89-90.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And then they won back to back, lost in the second round, and then got. So he went to 4-5.
He went to 4-5 years, but he only won two.
And he won. Well, only won two. Yeah. I love how you poo poo that. Yeah, he never did it. You are talking legitimately about John Wooden.
Yeah.
Which
Bruce
Pearl brought up.
And then I think before that, Adolph Rupp back with Kentucky when things were different.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's just not much to put in words-wise because I think Michigan has such an advantage here because they're playing in a way we've never seen. Yeah. But it's Dan Hurley, and so everybody's going to give him a shot.
But if UConn pulls this off,
yeah,
this is as impressive a run as we've seen in the modern NCAA tournament.
Yeah, it's not NC State, but it is like a, oh my God, how did you stop that? Because they were rolling in a way that we've never seen before.
Yeah.
Give me a good game.
Yep.
Arizona-Michigan, I thought, was an absolute disaster. And, like, I watched it. I'm not telling you
Illinois kept it interesting, but you never felt like they...
They couldn't get the stop they needed.
No, they never grabbed the momentum where you felt like UConn was, you know, puckering up.
And they couldn't get it. So I'm looking forward to it. I hope we get one, a good one tonight with Dan Hurley and UConn against the juggernaut that is Michigan basketball. Hey, we wrap it up with something we haven't done in a decade. Crosstalk. Huh? Well, crosstalk. I wanted to do it last week. I forgot to do it. So I thought we'd do it on our last solo show because Dirt will be back tomorrow. So let's do some crosstalk with P. Harris coming up next on The Fan. Well, we're about 13 minutes away from signing off of the 2 weeks of Dirt Solo, Me Solo. We're back together tomorrow. He's posted his thank you, Hawaii, you're undefeated. Here are all my cute family photos. It's a Teddy ball game. It's a little me. It's a little her. It's a little us. And the photos look great. I'm sure we're going to hear all about the great trip tomorrow and how he's going to move the show there and never want to come back if he goes there again. Because, yeah, who's ever been to Hawaii and not had a good time?
Exactly.
I've been there when it's dumping and it still goes away and ends up being a good time.
Yeah.
I have a wonderful picture of me and my son, like 4 years ago, standing out looking at the ocean, and it's pouring rain. And it is one of my all-time favorite pictures.
Because rain in Hawaii is warm. And by the way, welcome to Crosstalk with Patrick Harris.
Hi. I just jumped in.
I was going to tee you up, and you were like, I went to Hawaii once.
I'm so excited to be here with you, Brandon.
You're solo today, right?
I am solo dolo. Yeah. Danny's got the mud butt.
Oh, does he?
No, he's got a fever.
I
have now decided. I think I learned this from Rob.
Are you sure he does? Because it's Hoop Summit week, so I wouldn't put it past him to not be here for that reason.
I think I stole this from Rob and Suk.
What is
but
it?
But like, anytime someone's sick, they now have mud butt.
Mm.
Anytime.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, my arm got amputated. Nah, sounds like you got mud butt.
Ah, they're just covering for the real condition.
Because nobody wants to admit they have mud butt.
Okay. What was the, let me ask you this, because I thought the Final Four kind of sucked.
Yeah.
The Timbers sucked.
Ooh. I sent you the Ben Affleck meme.
Are we going to fire our manager?
I don't know, man. It's tough to say because...
It's soccer, dude. These guys just get turned over all the time.
Yeah, at first it felt really like, okay, there might be some tactical issues. There might be some motivational issues. There's also some attrition issues. But now attrition's kind of going by the wayside a little bit. And now you're finding ways to lose. Okay, it's one thing to lose. Like... Against Vancouver the last time in Portland, they're a better team. You lost. Izoida had a cool goal. Probably should have been 3-1. It ends up being 4-1.
Who? Izoida?
Izoida, yeah. He's a 19-year-old.
Cool.
And so you're kind of like, all right, stuff happens. I think once you get to a point, and it's like that in any sport, when you're finding ways to lose.
Your hands can't touch balls, dude. Not with a minute left.
And then that's really when flags start rising. Because then you start wondering, is this a culture issue? Is this an internal issue? Is this, it's no longer tactics and scheme. It's now motivation.
Yeah.
Focus.
Right.
Stuff like that. And whether it's a manager's fault or not, it's ultimately going to fall on them. So I don't know. The tough part is the next four games the Timbers can lose. LAFC puts 6 goals
on
the board.
Well, they're already second to last in the conference, so.
LAFC puts 6 goals on the board and gave up 0 on Saturday, and they come to town this weekend.
Not a great start for our beloved Timbers.
No.
It's
me. I'm the bad luck charm.
You're the jinx.
I'm the jinx.
I actually had somebody at the Timbers organization reach out, text me, and say, can we get him off Timbers fan on Tuesdays?
Oh, wonderful.
Because it's he's put nothing but a damper in our season. And I'm like, dude, I don't know. I'll talk to people, but we'll see what happens.
Well, great.
Speaking of tactical, can Dan Hurley do this, or is this Michigan team just a juggernaut?
Absolutely Dan Hurley can do this.
I'm going to tell you this. I have all the respect in the world. I can't imagine what it's got to be like to be that good at what he does. I just have a hard time with tonight's game. I do. I'm all in. I think it's going to end up being a little closer. If you like the 6.5 grade, if you want a UConn money line, I totally get it. This Michigan team is doing stuff, Patrick, we've never seen. No team has scored 90 points in every game. They're tied for the biggest blowout against a one seed we've ever seen in Final Four history. I just, it's so tough with that size, athleticism, and the way that they are, their chemistry is on Michigan. Unless Reed is out of this world against Mara, I have a hard time seeing it.
I think that's what's tough is... If Michigan beats Arizona or Arizona beats Michigan, they are the favorite against whoever wins UConn-Illinois. Illinois shot 38% from downtown all season long, shot 27% on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
That's brutal. Okay, live by three, die by three, whatever stereotype you want to throw in there. UConn found a way to win, but partially because Illinois kind of fell apart. Michigan blowing out Arizona is really the devastator. Because if they win a close game, then you're going, okay, maybe UConn can get this. UConn beats Duke because they S the bed. UConn beats Illinois because they S the bed. Now
they almost S the best against Michigan State.
Now, they found a way to win, and they continue to find a way to win.
And you give Hurley the credit for that.
Have to. Also, I think Hurley is now likable. That's the scariest thing.
No.
For me, he is.
Well, for me, he's a good person to have in the sport. You need a Dan Hurley.
This is Dan Hurley 2.0.
He's the new Coach K. We hate him.
I never hated K.
Why?
Are
you a Duke guy?
If I had to choose between the two, I'd probably take Duke. I just think they've been better teams and better recruits.
What is wrong with you?
What's wrong with you?
North Carolina.
You are gross.
Who was the last great North Carolina player? Vince Carter? Antoine Jameson?
I mean, what does that have to do with anything?
Duke's been easier to watch. They've had better players.
You're disgusting.
Sorry, guys.
You're a Duke guy?
I mean, I'm a nobody guy.
I kind of want to get you off at crosstalk now. This is devastating.
I'm just a nobody guy, to be honest.
I'm sorry. You're all alone. People hate a K.
Yes.
His whole like, oh, we're 3-4, or oh, we're 5-1. My back hurts.
I'm the gatekeeper of
get out of here.
And I preferred K over Roy Will.
Lecturing Dylan Brooks on how to be a person. Like, get out of here.
And I never cared for Roy Will and the, like, southern charm of being a sleazebag.
Yeah. He had the Mike Riley effect.
Mm-hmm.
You liked him over Roy Williams?
Sure did.
Gross. I'm learning all kinds of disgusting things about you right now.
Wait till I tell you how much I really liked Jim Boeheim as a coach, too.
I give you a lot of stories behind the scenes that you wouldn't like Jim Boeheim.
Oh, I'm sure he's a terrible human being. I think that's the reality, is that they're all terrible human beings. May at Michigan is so unlikable to me. Big time.
Why?
I don't know why. I look at him and I think he has a punchable face. Yeah.
You're in the minor.
But, like, he hasn't done anything.
He's about to win a natty, so he has done something.
Well, maybe. We'll have to see if Danny Hurley has something to say about that. I think Hurley's great for the sport.
He's a great villain. I
also would never want to play for somebody like him.
I just think that Danny Hurley, trying to get titles, had to go the villain route, and I think now he's shifting because he's royalty.
No, I think he's leaning into the villain. Did you see his post game when he's like, what are they booing about?
You, buddy.
And then he was walking off and he's like, still here!
See, I kind of like that.
No, I like that that's good for the sport. Yeah, I'm not a fan, but I am a fan that he exists in the sport.
I have also said this heavily. This UConn team was not supposed to be here. It's next year. That's the team to look at.
He basically said that he screwed last year's team with the dynasty talk.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I heard that. And because it's just three and four ain't going to happen.
It's not happened since Wooden.
But I think next year, don't be shocked if Dan Hurley and UConn is the preseason number one.
I hope it's a good game, man. I think Dusty May and Michigan are going to do it. What's coming up on the show?
That. Final Four. Timbers. Joe Adell.
Greatest defensive performance in the outfield we've ever seen?
Has to be. Giannis and Embiid, those situations are really weird. We'll get into that. And, of course, Gino and Don. Let's go.
Since made up.
I'm taking the Don route on this one.
Everybody did. That's why Gino apologized.
Why does Gino get along with everybody but Don Staley?
All right. We look forward to it. The Firm Harris Meringue is coming up next. Thanks for listening, hanging out. Dirt back tomorrow. And we'll talk to you bright and early, 6 to 10 a.m. on Portland Sports Leader 105.1, The Fan.